Hey everyone, today I want to look at Matthew chapter 13, 1 through 17. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the sea, and great crowds gathered about him, so that he got into a boat and sat down, and the whole crowd stood on the beach. And he told them many things in parables, saying, "A sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seeds fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured them. Other seeds fell on rocky ground, where they did not have much soil, and immediately they sprang up, since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched, and since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil, and produced grain, some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. He who has ears, let him hear." Then the disciples came and said to him, "Why do you speak to them in parables?" And he answered them, "To you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. For to the one who has, more will be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. This is why I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. Indeed, in their case, the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled that says, 'You will indeed hear, but never understand, and you will indeed see, but never perceive. For this people's heart has grown dull, and with their ears they can barely hear, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their hearts, and turn, and I would heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For truly I say to you, many prophets and righteous people longed to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it." Chapter 13 of Matthew opens up, as it were, a new chapter in the Gospels. Jesus has already faced opposition, and in fact, just prior, he's been speaking about this opposition. Remember the blaspheming of the Spirit, those saying that Jesus cast out devils by the devil, the demand for a sign. Jesus gives the strange parable of the man who's cleansed of a demon and seven come back and take over. All of this has to do with opposition. So it's precisely here that Jesus begins to give parables. A few things first. First of all, it says he goes out of the house and sits down on a boat by the sea. Sitting is what teachers do in that time. That's how they taught. That's how people taught in the synagogue. It's also what kings do, and I think Jesus is taking up a kind of a royal position. But he sits on the boat, and there's been some speculation that he did this in order to amplify his voice. The text doesn't say that, and I would suggest there's more going on here. In fact, Jesus has already talked about the prophet Jonah, who was sent to Gentiles. And in Scripture, the sea is a repeated image of the Gentile nations. In Daniel, monsters come out of the ocean, and these monsters represent various pagan nations. Jonah, he runs away from God on the ocean, on a ship on the ocean. Jesus has many journeys on the Sea of Galilee, and it is symbolic in many ways of the Gentiles and the Gentile nations around the world. In the book of Acts, the book of Acts ends with Paul's journey, where? To the capital of a pagan nation to bring the gospel there. So we have this repeated image going on, and I think Jesus sitting on this boat signals the beginning of this new age when the blessings of God will come, the blessings of the kingdom of God, and the gospel will go to all nations. In the book of Revelation, we see that there's no more sea. In other words, there's no more rebellious, idolatrous opposition to God. So I think Jesus is embarking on this ship, which is the new Israel. It's the new family of God among the nations to fulfill the promise to Abraham to bless all nations. It's the mission to the Gentiles is beginning. It's precisely here that Jesus speaks in parables. Why? I think it's primarily because of the opposition he's getting. Jesus doesn't speak in parables, I don't think, primarily because images are a great way to communicate. I think, as he says here, he's doing it because he's taught, he's blessed, he's pled, and they've resisted, and so he's no longer going to explain to them. the disciples seem to be saying, Jesus, you speak plainly to us. Why don't you speak plainly to them? And Jesus is in effect saying, they don't want to hear. They don't want to be my disciples. I'm not going to clearly explain things to them. So he only speaks in parables after this resistance. Here in chapter 13, there's going to be seven parables. So it's this explosion of parables. And a few things about them. Parables, in some ways, affect what they communicate. In other words, Jesus is in part with the parable of the sower saying, hey, listen, I sow abundantly. My Father sows abundantly. There's very little response. The very declaring of that parable to the crowds brings that about because few actually listen to him and come and say, hey, I want to be your disciple. I want to learn what it is you're trying to say. Those who hear, they heard what he said, but failed to go on and say, you know, this man has the words of life. He clearly is from God. I want to take up his invitation to take his yoke and learn how to obey him in everything. I want Sermon on the Mount. I want to put that into practice. Jesus is saying that's all the other kinds of soil. That's all the other kind of responses to me. Let's talk about the sower. The image is interesting. You know, at one level, there's all this soil that the seed goes into. Adam was made from the ground, and so maybe soil is a good image for people and their responses. Broadly speaking, I would say that God in Scripture has been scattering repeatedly all through history, all through the history of Israel, sowing the message of the kingdom, the message of the blessing of walking in trusting obedience to him, of living life with him and worshiping him. He's been promising the coming of the kingdom. And in Jesus' own ministry, we see the parable of the soil or the parable of the sower enacted. And there's a number of things we could say, but one I want to emphasize is that Jesus' own ministry doesn't look very promising. They resist him in Capernaum. They resist him in Chorazin. It sounds like the communities around Galilee, even though they've been blessed repeatedly, are resisting him. He's been sowing by blessing them, by preaching the word of the kingdom, by giving the Sermon on the Mount, but few have responded. He has this handful of disciples. He has this handful of people who've responded, but very few are really listening. So it's a description of precisely what's been going on with Jesus. He has been sowing the message of the kingdom far and wide, everywhere he can go, but very few people stop and say, I want more than just the good things this guy can give me by healing me or by entertaining me for a time. I want to take his yoke upon me. I want to be his student. Jesus says, guys, I explain these things to you because you've decided to do that. You've responded in that way to me. But everybody else, I'm not wasting my breath. I'm not, like he said in the Sermon on the Mount, casting my pearls before swine. Ultimately, I would suggest that the miraculous yield is Jesus himself. He's the seed that the Father's sown in the soil of the world. He's gone down into death. And he's brought forth new life. At the end of Jesus' crucifixion and his burial, it looks like all has been for naught. Yet here we are 2,000 years later because of his going into death for us and being raised by the Father. And so part of what I think Jesus wants to communicate to us today is that the message of the gospel, the message of who Jesus is and what he does and what he did is the power. It's the seed. Our job isn't to turn people into a certain kind of soil. Our job is to sow, and allow the power of the message to be able to carry out its effect. There will be miraculous yields, but it won't always, and especially won't initially, look like we want it to look like. But that has always been the pattern of the sowing of the kingdom. Finally, he says, he who has an ear, let him hear. I don't think this is just a pithy saying. I think Jesus is, in a sense, commenting on how one becomes a certain kind of soil. You know, in the Gospel of Luke, it says that the good soil is those who take the message and hold it in a good and honest heart and produce this fruit. I don't think it's an accident that he says, he who has an ear to hear, let him hear. The In the Old Testament, the closest thing they had to a creed was the Shema, Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4 through 9, which said, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one." All through the Old Testament, there's this appeal to have a hearing heart. And this clearly, again, is more than simply, they saw Jesus, wow, he's amazing, they heard what he had to say, what, boy, isn't that interesting. This is going beyond that to say, I am going to follow him, I'm going to sit at his feet, and I'm going to soak up all his words and try to grasp them. That is what the hearing is. It's attending. Of course, Jesus mentions that there's distractions, that there's entertainments, that there's cares of this life, that there's even persecution, and all those things keep from attending. But he says that the good soil is the hearing heart. It's the person who makes it their primary goal to say, I want to attend to the teachings of Jesus. I want to learn from him. Because the seed, the message of the kingdom of God has great power. The message isn't in us. If we will simply let it dwell in our hearts, as Paul says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, it will bear the kind of miraculous fruit that God wants, that God is looking for in the long run. But again, the warning here is that many heard but didn't hear. Many saw but didn't see. And I think that continues to go on. I think that happens in church all the time. If we were just to go statistically by this parable, maybe 25% of people in church hear the word of God, but don't really attend to it. They see the word of God, but they don't really dig in and give their hearts to it. Many sometimes are entertained, many are blessed, but few are those who have an ear to hear. So may the Lord Jesus grant us hearts that long to take hold of his word and hold on to it so that in the power of his word and the message of the kingdom of God, we can bear the fruit that God is looking for. Amen.